Let's get started. We got a development at the General Assembly on that class size issue that has had a lot of people talking, to say the least, over the course of the last really couple years. Today, lawmakers unveiled a bill that they say is designed to fix the class size issue in public schools. This following a bill they passed requiring school districts to reduce class sizes for grades K through 3, but there was no funding or resources attached to help them do it. And school districts said they were having to plan to make significant cuts in other areas in order to meet the requirement. This bill would phase in the class size reductions over a period of time and provide some funding for it. Not everyone entirely happy about it, though. This is still a controversial issue. WCHL's Blake Hodge, our news director, joins us here now in the studio. It's a 10-page bill. We've been taking a look at it. What do we got?
It's a 10-page bill that is quite wide-ranging. Let's start on the class size, and then we'll go to some of the other features that are in this bill.
Yeah, can we talk about the fact that the title of the bill is half a page long?
We can't. We don't have enough time to read through the entire title.
Yeah.
So this will do a couple of things. It will phase in, as you said, the class size mandate. Locally, what that means is, honestly, in Chapel Hill Carborough, not a ton. They already had a waiver for this upcoming year.
Yeah, this was going to affect a lot of other districts more than ours.
There are 100, and I believe, I'm trying to recall, 115 school districts in the state. Around 10 of them had waivers.
Yeah.
So most of them didn't. Orange County schools did not have a waiver. So this was going to impact them coming up this year. Todd Wirt, their superintendent, just talked to the county commissioners about this on Tuesday of this week at their county commissioner meeting. But this bill will push that until next year, or push the start of that until next year. So nothing changes this year. And then it will be phased in until the 21-22 school year.
Mm-hmm.
Also getting phased out over that time is the pre-K wait list. They're going to eliminate that pre-K wait list under this bill by the 21-22 year. And then the funding for each of those, the teachers and the pre-K funding, would be part of the base budget moving forward. It would be a lot of legislation required to remove that moving forward.
What is it to say that it would eliminate the pre-K wait list? Is that to say what happens to the people on the wait list? Are they
not now, right?
It's phased in
over the the funding would be there to accommodate everyone that was on that.
Would have been so. Everyone on the wait list would have a spot in pre-K.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you're on the wait list now, it doesn't help
affect you
at all.
But
right, and really, over the next few years, you're still going to have that wait list as the funding is geared up in incremental stages to take care of that.
Okay.
So
60 plus million, about 61, 62
million
dollars.
Almost $61.4 million in recurring funds that would be allotted specifically for program enhancement teachers in K through 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been one of the concerns with this class size mandate is to accommodate the cap on the number of students in standard classes, you have to find ways to fit those classrooms in. One way to do that is get rid of the performance enhancement classes, art, music, PE.
These are called specials, right, that we've been talking about, right?
So getting rid of those would be one way to find ways to do the funding for the teachers, for one, and then classroom space.
Yeah.
So this is geared specifically to buy school districts those teachers provide the funding for those teacher positions is a better way
so
to say
this
that.
This is a significant improvement over what currently exists in terms of this completely unfunded mandate that's going to take effect in the fall of 2018,
right?
Is it enough is the question, because
it depends on I'm sure there are going to be people that say it's enough. If you look at logistical,
I mean, there are people who say the current bill is enough.
There's logistical parts of it that just clearly the math doesn't add up. I mean, even if you have the funding for the performance enhancement teachers, that's now provided, you have to move on to where you're going to put all of the, you know, we just had this discussion with Chapel Hill High, Lincoln Center here locally, of we have to do this to accommodate this class size mandate, even if it is over the next 4 years, you're still having to find classroom sizes, which just in Chapel Hill Carborough, based off of what they've said on the record before, is about the equivalent of another elementary school. And it cost, you know, $40 million to build another elementary school.
In one district.
So, you know.
In one district that's not even it's close to being the largest.
No,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
exactly.
a large district at all.
Yeah.
And they have talked to us before about the issues that they have finding qualified teachers that are qualified and have the certifications and everything, that especially a district that has the standards that Chapel Hill Carbondale City Schools does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if everything else worked out, finding teachers to fill all of those classrooms is still going to be a challenge. I think that the overall theme is that this seems to be a move in the right direction or toward a direction that people would want, but is certainly not going to be a fix-all for everything.
Districts are not going to be scrambling quite as much as they would if nothing were done. They're still going to be scrambling.
Yeah, they were really
going to
be some major concerns, specifically in Orange County schools heading into the upcoming year, if something didn't happen. So
This is all talking about a bill that was introduced today, and there was a press conference today to talk about the bill. So there's time for amendments, and a vote still has to be taken place, and all of that.
Right.
So
it's being substituted for another bill that had been filed, House Bill 90. So it's basically going in up or down.
Right.
That'll be, I guess, feasibly it could be today or heading into tomorrow.
So speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodge, we're talking about a bill that was announced today, introduced to fix the class size issue in public schools, or at least do something to address that crisis. And insofar, I mentioned it's a 10-page bill.
Yeah.
Part two of the bill, in addition to doing the class size issue, also addresses completely unrelated issue,
part one of the bill is talking about the pipeline funding, Atlantic Coast pipeline funding. So the Department of Environmental Quality issued the permit for the Atlantic Coast pipeline to come through North Carolina. This happened last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Roy Cooper announced subsequently with the announcing that the permit had been granted by DEQ, that a fund had been set up under the governor's discretion to move forward. It was like $58 million, I believe. The General Assembly in this bill is taking that money, saying you don't have the authority to allocate that money. If the money's going to be allocated by anybody, it's going to be allocated by the General Assembly. And they are proposing moving it to those districts that are within or adjacent to the county that is housing the eventual pipeline.
So what does that mean for the pipeline then?
Well, nothing for the pipeline. I mean, the pipeline permit is controlled by DEQ. It's just targeting the money rather than allowing the governor to decide on the features of that money, taking it, and then the General Assembly having the authority over
that. So that's part one.
That was part one
part
of the bill.
Two of the bill is what we talked about.
Part three of the bill. After you get through the budget lines that are in here,
I think it's technically like part seven of the bill
The third real thing is the Elections and Ethics Board.
Yes.
Because that's related to this.
So let's go back. General Assembly passed a bill combining the State Elections Board and the State Ethics Board into one board with eight members on it, four Democrats, four Republicans, took appointment power away from the governor and put it on the General Assembly leaders.
And
Governor Cooper.
Yeah, basically it always works out to where the governor's party had one more person on the board, and this way Republicans, but with the way it was worded, Republicans would control the Elections and Ethics Board of that eight-member board in election years,
right. But it would be a 4-4 split with like the chair of the board being essentially a Republican. So that was the bill that was passed. Governor Cooper challenged it in court recently. It got struck down after following that lawsuit. So now this class size bill also has provisions basically recreating the board.
A nine-member board this time.
Yes.
Four Republicans, four Democrats, one unaffiliated with either of those parties.
Yep.
So you could be affiliate. You could be a Libertarian.
Right.
You don't have to be unaffiliated.
You don't have to be
unaffiliated. Right. But it's not required to be unaffiliated.
Right.
Just unaffiliated with either of those parties.
Yeah.
So the way this goes, the state party would nominate six people.
Each state party.
Yeah. Sorry. Republican Democratic Party would nominate six people up for this board. The governor would then pick four from those six,
mm-hmm.
and then those eight would be seated, and then those eight would submit two names to the governor of
an
unaffiliated
person. Yeah. Okay.
So that's how that would work if this becomes law.
Right.
This does have to be voted on. Cooper will have to sign this if it's going to become law. You know, well, I guess he could wait, not sign it, and then 30 days it becomes law anyway. But it's either take a couple of things that, you know, he hasn't issued a formal statement. Let me check my email and just make sure. But as of my last
you haven't
thing,
checked in the last 30 seconds
yeah,
here. But,
no statement.
You could check your email and find another court decision. No, no it's just come down from, on gerrymandering.
Yeah, no statement from the governor as of right now. But clearly a couple of things that he's not going to like in here. Taking money that he had set aside and giving it to the General Assembly. And then the Elections and Ethics Board is just going to continue to be a saga. So he's going to have to either veto the whole bill and be the governor that vetoed the class size fix, as it's going to be, right? Or you go with it and you lose a couple of things that you don't want to lose, I'm sure, if you're Governor Cooper. Again, we haven't gotten an official statement from this. We got a heads up that this was going to be a complex bill, and that's what we got.
Which is to say combining a whole bunch of issues that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, so, North Carolina is one of six states that the governor does not have a line item veto. So it's either all or nothing. Indiana, Nevada, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Rhode Island, and Vermont for your bar trivia question.
I'm surprised it's only six, actually.
Yeah. So, fun fact.
Yeah, all right.
So that's where we are right now. Don't know when a vote is going to come on this, but do expect a vote either probably today or tomorrow on this.
All right, we'll keep following that. Blake Hodge, thank you so much.